We know for a fact big corporate companies with a spend do actually have in-house mental health coaches for their staff, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to mention names, but the huge ones, the ones that make multi-billion or multi-million pounds a year, blah, blah, blah. So you're going to have an SME, a small company, say, well, I can't afford to have somebody in-house. This kind of ties into what you do. I haven't got that in my budget. We're a small company. We only have four people. Just because you only have four people doesn't mean that, that their mental health is not as important as a company with 400 people. They are equally as important. And I think, so it's, employers should use that as an excuse, because there are people like you who can do this as more of a freelance thing, where you go down to the company, either a small one or a medium-sized one, and to do so. Expand on that, what you do and what other people like you do for companies who will turn around and say, well, it's too expensive. I might just get another one at somebody else and pay 80 grand a year for them. Can't do that. But it's the, trying to show employers of different sizes that there are ways you can still take the importance of your staff's mental health seriously.
Yeah, 100%. So I offer lots of different packages, and it is targeted at really what each company's budget is. Mm-hmm. So I have four different options, basically, literally, that starts from as small as £33 a month,
yeah,
up to £200 a month per member of staff.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it, you know, the more you spend, the more you get,
mm-hmm,
as a service. But I also do it totally bespoke to, you know, whatever the company might be, you know, that your staff might be struggling,
mm-hmm,
with.
Mm-hmm.
So, not to mention names, but there is one company who is a client of mine, and they're a small company actually local to Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very much, you know, this is what our staff are struggling with. They also don't really want too much online because they spend all day, every day on their laptops.
Yeah.
What can you do for us? This is our budget.
Yeah.
Go. So it's really quite simple. And actually, if any company uses cost as an excuse, it really is an excuse, because there is people like me,
mm-hmm,
and when I say £33 a month, that's really small money,
yeah,
that will have huge knock-on effect, huge benefits for the member of staff and the company. So there's lots of other people out there like myself, you know, that have lots of different options. So it's really about just doing a little bit of research,
mm-hmm,
you know, to see what works best. But yeah, you can have a small budget, you can have a big budget.
I mean, can you do this? Do you have companies approach you and say, come down once a month and have a pep talk with the staff? Is that something that people like you do? Do you also have companies that say, you know what, okay, because you're here and we're there, can we do this remotely? We've got a conference room. We can get the staff in. Is that also possible?
All of those things are possible.
Do you have, are you flexible with, say, a company that says, okay, you know what, we're going to keep you on retainer, but our staff can have direct access to you anytime. I'm not even talking about the money side of it. It's like, it's that also a flexible thing?
Yeah,
is that also
exactly
part of
so
it?
Everything you just said, I offer. So I offer sort of a monthly clinic. Mm. So it's really just a case that, you know, they'll have two full days, again, dependent on how many people they have
working
for them. But, you know, you've got me for two full days,
mm-hmm,
a month, book in as a, you know, for a one-to-one session.
Mm-hmm.
And that's remote. So that's really flexible and easy. You've got that kind of thing. I do retreats where it then brings in mindset and yoga and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice. That's kind of more like you were saying, like a well-being kind, mm-hmm, of day. Go into the office, can do a in-person workshop. So it's really flexible, and it's really about I listen. I'm queen listener. So I will listen to what is, you know, if you're saying our company, our staff, they don't seem motivated, they seem lethargic, they seem
productivity's low.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll say, okay, and I'll create, you know, if they want me to come into the office, I'll create a, you know, session, workshop.
Mm-hmm. Bespoke to what they need.
Yeah. So it can be done like that, or it's a case that the members of staff will come to me, and it's very much more of a personal.
Yeah.
What they're going through.
Before, I worked with a PR firm, a local one called Sunny Bird, and she.
Give you for the plug. Pay some money for that.
Well, she I really love what she did. She got someone in to do yoga in our lunch break. Mm-hmm. And
oh, no.
You didn't have to do it,
yeah.
You know, if you didn't want to, but that was really fun.
Yeah, and that on the back of that, it's not just asking the staff if they want it. So a lot of experience I've had is, okay, yeah, we'll ask the staff what they think. Well, a lot of staff, one, won't speak up,
yeah.
Especially British.
You don't want to be the first to speak up.
You don't want to be the first.
You're waiting for somebody else to do it.
You're so not sure.
Everyone's stuck in limbo.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, exactly. So actually, it's so small but so massive that actually, like HR, let's say it's HR people that bring people like myself in.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, what do you think would be beneficial for everybody?
Yeah.
Or do a survey, do an anonymous survey. Mm-hmm. So no one's sort of, you know, oh, what should I say? Like, me, am I going to get the sack? Like, you know, it's really important for the management to be proactive.
Okay. So do you like, because obviously different businesses have different things. In your line of work, do you think, and again, I'm just throwing it out here. In your line of work, when you identify, say you have, let's say three different companies approach you, right, to do something for them, for their staff. And those three different companies do different things. So you can have one in manufacturing, one in social media, one, I don't know, what else? I got mining, don't know why. But example. In your line of work, do you think that different businesses with different things that they do have got a different level of intensity? And if they do, like, I'm just asking, I don't know this. And if they do, do you put something together, a package for them, based on what you think that intensity of work is? So if someone's working in a mine, I'm going back to that again, that's tough, man. I might be wrong. I might be spitballing it, but I personally would say, okay, Sunnybird, right? That's social media, PR. I would say, from the outside looking at that, social media and PR, working there is kind of easier than working in the mine. I'm not knocking it.
Yeah. I think what you're getting at
is, it's a question to ask.
Is a high pressure job.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
hey. No, you're a deadline.
I know. Try getting stuck in the bottom of the mile that my cave in.
The environment you're working in.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
in, it's dark, it's cold, and it's probably wet.
Yeah, very.
Sunlight.
Like everyone has pressures, right? In whatever line of work they do. But, okay, instead of mining, can we go with more like maybe like an athlete?
Okay.
Where they have to perform at their top.
Yeah.
They're under pressure, mm-hmm. they're on the spotlight. Mm-hmm. All the time.
I don't know why I had mining. I just came in my head. Don't knock me. I just thought, what tough jobs out there? Mining, yeah.
Manual labor, that's physical.
Very, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'll always suggest, I'll make a suggestion, and hopefully the company is open to it,
mm-hmm.
because at the end of the day, I'm the expert, mm-hmm. and I've most likely probably worked with somebody who's done whatever line of work they're in before.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they'll be, you know, open to my suggestion. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, if I don't feel like they're a good, not necessarily a good company, but aren't doing it for the right reasons, mm-hmm. or trying to just go for the cheap one because, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that's just the easy option. And it's not genuine.
Okay.
I'll choose not to work with them.
Do you?
Yeah, I will, because, you know, it depends.
Poor miner.
I'm not saying the miner. Oh. Alone.
Wow. I'm trying to give you heat here. You can't even help me.
I'm having against crypto.
I know, that's why I was also thinking about crypto.
Coal mining, I'm talking about people.
So would you
say no to them because they think it's not something you can offer them, it's not fair on them? And if you did say no to them, do you give them a suggestion of where they can go?
Oh, yeah. I would never just leave them sort of in the lurch. And to be fair,
you wouldn't leave them in the cave.
I wouldn't leave them in the cave mining. Yeah,
okay.
I would always try and help. That's just me as a person. I've got a very big heart and I'm a huge empath. So mm-hmm. I would always try and help.
Yeah.
It would take a lot for me to turn someone down. Because at the end of the day, I'd still think, oh, they're still trying to help, even if maybe somebody isn't being genuine or mm-hmm. something like that. But, I would always make suggestions. And it's really important to identify what kind of stress they are, you know, what they do for a living, so that I do offer the right thing. And again, if I do feel that it isn't my area of expertise,
you just be trying to tell them straight away.
Tell them, and I will then find somebody to
help. That's cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your book. First of all, what inspired you to write the book? And when did the book come out? I think I know, but let's pretend nobody knows.
I don't know.
Yeah, so let's pretend that everyone knows, isn't it? So she's going to tell us all that. What inspired you to write a book, number one? Because that is, in between trying to get a master's and everything else you're trying to do, you've now squeezed in time to write a book. Dr. Tanya Bright. God damn. We should swap names. So what?
It's an update.
Yeah. So why did you write the book? When did you write the book? And what were you hoping to achieve? So that's a three-pronged question. Should we start with when did you write the book?
Yeah, sure. So I actually started writing the book in 2018.
Okay.
And I published it in 2020.
Let's give you an applause for that. So the book was published to 2020, so it's nearly 3 years, give or take now?
Yes.
Or 3 years now?
Yeah.
We are in 2023, people. Just don't know when she actually released the book in 2020. July.
Yeah, released it July the 1st, 2020.
Oh,
so it's nearly.
It's July 10th. Oh,
oh no. Sorry.
That's right. July. Good month, that is, just in case you guys didn't know. Just saying. Birthday. We can do like a double birthday with your book. Hey.
And I'll launch it on your birthday.
Hey, it's your party.
Okay, so why did you want to write a book?
It was always one of the things I wanted to achieve.
Yeah.
And again, I just thought, I want to help as many million people in the world as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Always my why.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I like that.
A book is a fantastic way of getting it out there. It's really inexpensive, and I wanted it to be really accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's on Amazon for
$5.99. Blah. I see you. Yeah.
PMP.
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 What? DHL? DPD?
Oh, I don't know about that. Amazon deals with that.
Oh, wow. Okay. There are other marketplaces out there, please. Just not Amazon until the type of sponsoring us. So I'm just saying that. Okay, go on.
Okay. So, yeah, it was one of my ways of getting it out there to people.
Yeah.
And it really is a toolkit. So it's a really nice, if you're suffering with anxiety and you can't breathe, you can literally turn to the page and it's literally a toolkit.
Okay,
I can't breathe right now. I'm really struggling. And there's like breathing techniques.
Okay.
In the first part of the book.
And what's the book called?
Recipe for a Brighter Life.
God, I love the link with the name, isn't it? So Recipe for Brighter Lives.
All right. The ingredients for a brighter life.
And where can we? So we can get the book on Amazon. You said anywhere else? Can we get it off the website?
Yeah,
thebrightcenter.com.
Brightcenter.com.
Okay, and how many? Because some people, I read books, so I'm not. I mean, I read Lord of the Rings when I was 12. That tells you. But some people say, "Oh, it's too much. I've done too much pages."
And, it's a really small book, and it's also small in size.
It's just pocket size.
It's literally.
But how many pages? Size.
168.
She knows a book, like isn't that. It? I was trying to get you there.
I mean, right now, I definitely wrote it herself.
160 approximately, right?
Yeah, approximately. And it's really, like I said before, it's really easy to read. And it's, if you've read it or you haven't read it, but you're thinking, oh God, like I'm really stressed or I've got, my inner critics are going crazy. Mm-hmm. Turn to the inner critic page.
All right.
And so it's like that. So you read that and there's a little bit of information about, i.e. inner critics.
Yeah.
And then there's a little exercise at the end of that small chapter.
Yeah. So how many chapters in this book?
I believe there's 14 or 15.
And it's just got different, obviously, bullet points.
Yeah.
You've said inner critics, you've said anxiety. Give me others.
Yeah,
other
so there's inner critics, breathing, how to be more confident in yourself.
Breathing.
Thoughts.
Breathing.
How to
yeah.
Have
yeah.
Your chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, thoughts. I can't remember all of the other chapters, actually. But off the back of the Recipe for a Brighter Life book, I've actually created a Recipe for a Brighter Life program.
Okay.
So if you're not a reader and you would rather me talk you through basically the tips and tools in the book,
I was going to ask you, there's an audiobook version of that book.
Yeah, I need to do an audio version.
You got the voice for it, yeah.
Essentially, the program is the book in a 2-week program, and you basically just dedicate 10 minutes a day to learning these different tools. Mm-hmm. So that's, I actually did release that a couple, same time actually, but I've now updated the program. So the program is now available as well.
Is that a separate book or separate literature?
So it's an online program.
Oh right, give me that online. And is that okay, because the book is $5.99. I just thought I'd emphasize that again. And yes. What is the program? How so much the program?
So basically, the program's now only £27. Mm-hmm. It's on offer. And what you also get, you get a 30-minute one-to-one coaching session with me, which we break up. So you start with a 15-minute, so I can see exactly how I can help you specifically to maybe what you're challenged with at the moment. You then do the program, mm-hmm. 10 minutes a day for 14 days. Mm-hmm. Then we have a 15-minute catch-up mm-hmm. at the end as well to see how you got on and see if you need my support with anything further.
Oh, fantastic. So
that's now available as well.
Okay, and I'm going to also throw another question. People that I know, you know, I'm big on community stuff and giving back and stuff. So what has, or what plans has the Bright Centre got in terms of helping people who can't afford, because at the end of the day, it might be small to us, but not everyone has got the same deep pockets or pockets, so to speak. Is there anything that you've got in place to help people that you can even be linked with Kelly's stuff with your ethical that, the homeless, for example, that's huge as well. That you can put out there and link it to just say, okay, you know what, this is my community outreach. I'm doing this for the people, for the community. What have you done before, or what have you got any plans in place in terms of people who can't really? Their priority is not mental health. Their priority is their next meal. Their priority is the next place they can with a roof. Is there anything you can do to help people like that and extend your expertise to them to help them? Because those kind of people that literally are at the bottom right now, that even just it's a little step for them to try feeling positive about themselves. What have you got in place for that? Or what you plan? Is there any plans in place or
coming absolutely. Up? I mean, it's always been also one of my things that I really want to start my own charity.
Yeah.
So now that I've kind of sort of completed my master's and I think I'm done with studying for now.
Phew.
For now. Oh. There's a PhD brewing, but for now.
Oh, you're going to go from Dr. T to Professor T?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
My
Your PA might need a PA.
But, you know, now I've got that. Now I can put everything I kind of ever wanted to achieve, I'm now making it happen. I'm rolling everything out. So
the pandemic didn't help, to be fair,
That really slowed it all down. But, yeah, I would really love to do that. You know, I do a lot of social media stuff, and of course these people that you're talking about, you know, really might not even have access to that. Mm-hmm. So and that's totally understandable, but I do a lot in terms of trying to help people just daily with daily content that's actually just hopefully valuable.
I think as well, like the tips you share on your Instagram and things too, people can watch them and get
But then I'm saying some people their priority might not even be social media. And this is why I wanted Kelly, I wanted you to be here, because I just thought if I can be a conduit where with what you do great stuff and what she does great stuff can actually meet at some point. And
I was introduced someone this week who's a chiropractor who helps homeless people. He's running his own little clinic on Sea Road. I think it's like once a week or every 2 weeks.
That's amazing.
People that are homeless don't have money to go and see an
office. It's what I'm saying. It's not their priority, isn't it? It's like eat my next meal or the next place I can put my head on.
And you know, I said already about us doing something together, but I would love to be able to. Mm-hmm. It's just really having access and understanding how I can help.
And I'm more than happy to use
what they need.
Yeah. So, like you said, they might just be thinking my next meal.
Yeah.
But maybe even if I can just help them if they really, oh gosh, and obviously if they ever have like suicidal thoughts or anything
exactly,
like that.
Yeah.
You know, I can absolutely help.
And I think what you two ladies do, you got come together, and I'll use my, obviously I'm always big on that. I'll use my platform to help raise awareness to what you guys can put together, no pressure, and come back at me. And for some people who are watching this thinking, why are we in a different space? Well, this is one of our sponsors, Chica Lounge, a brand new what you call entertainment hub in Bournemouth. If you like going out early and being home by 12:31, then this is the spot for you. This is the second room, actually, so we thought we'd come out of our comfort zone from the studio and highlight this nice place over here. We're going to talk more as well about the other stuff you do with the acupuncture side of it and and everything. So just big up our sponsors, Chica Lounge, big up our other sponsors, which is My Connected Home, myconnectedhomeuk.com and chicalounge.co.uk. For your socials, actually, the Bright Center, can you just plug that out for us so the people who are watching and listening, can you give us a, what are they?
At the Bright Center on every platform.
And what platforms are those? TikTok?
Yep.
Why was it really TikTok first?
And you were kind of hoping I would say no, so you were like, TikTok?
She said, let it.
Join TikTok.
It's the big,
you want to spend way more time still, again, doing social media.
It's a big
thing. How do you just do Instagram?
I know.
TikTok would be good for you, though.
You love TikTok. Oh, yeah. Be a TikToker.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bright Center?
The Bright Center on TikTok, everything. Facebook, Instagram.
MySpace?
No.
Okay. MySpace? Is that still around?
Was it Bebo?
Anything else?
It's on YouTube as well.
YouTube, the Bright Center. So yeah. The Bright Center on everything. The Bright Center, not yes. Bright Center, because that's somebody else. TheBrightCenter.com on the website. The Bright Center on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook.
TikTok.
I did say TikTok, but TikTok again, yeah. So, oh gosh. Insane. Now, let's go into the other side of what you do. Which is, let me know, it's, I know you do acupuncture, I know you do sports therapy, and I know you do, you also teach classes, you're a tutor for that as well. Can you, and again, it's still linked to obviously mental health and be physically or mentally healthy. Now, let's go into the physical part of it. What got you on acupuncture and stuff? I mean, we talk about coccyx here, so yeah. Am I coming very handy? and it's still part of the Body and Mind series of this season, so that's kind of cool. It's like, I've got you, it's like, you're like, bug off, isn't it? Two for the price of one. So I've got you here to talk about mental health and talk about acupuncture as well.
We're going to get a snack.
Buy one, get one free. So let's talk about... Let's talk about the other parts of what you do regards to. Now, this is now going back to the body part now. Tell us about what you do with that in that regard.
So I was always interested in acupuncture, but I'd never had acupuncture before, and I didn't really know much about it. I just had this weird, like intuition of, yeah. Like, I need to learn acupuncture. So I did the course, and I went, and it was in Manchester. And it was really, really funny because I, like I said, never had acupuncture before.
Yeah.
Didn't really know much about it. I didn't even know how much acupuncture needles were to think, oh, is this feasible? If I do this, you know, is this a good business for anything? Anyway, so I just went, I just followed my intuition and did the course. And I've never had so many needles stuck in my body across the, like, 4-6 days in total. You had to be at a high up level already in the physical therapy. Otherwise, it's a longer course. But, 6 days, lots of needles. So I know people are probably cringing at the thought of needles. But to start with that, we don't like needles generally.
And so does Frankie.
Frankie does not like needles.
That's our mascot, Frankie, telling us something is happening.
Telling us someone's So, most people have needle phobia from blood tests, injections, because they're big needles and they usually go into your vein.
Yeah,
so
I've got needle phobia.
Yeah.
I've got tattoos, but hey, that's another story, but there you go.
But so with acupuncture, the needles are really, really tiny and I avoid veins at all costs. So why I did it, again, I was just very interested in it. It's a natural pain reliever. It's a natural way of healing. So that is the bottom line of really everything I do. It's all about healing, but naturally.
Okay. Go on.
So acupuncture, what it does is...
That's my question.
Yep. Okay.
I know.
By causing a small trauma in the body, whatever part it is, it causes massive blood flow. And then it's that blood flow that comes to the area that brings the healing.
Okay.
So that's what acupuncture does in a nutshell.
And that's to do with blood circulation, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why it helps circulation
right.
as well. So that's your sort of medical acupuncture. Chinese acupuncture is totally different.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so medical acupuncture, you know, a lot of chiros do it. That's actually called dry needling. It's not actually acupuncture.
All right.
But it's very much about just healing, whether it's a joint, muscle. It's all to do just physical. So you put the needle where the issue is for the most part. Chinese acupuncture, there's so many different like points in the body. It's all to do with chakras as well.
Yeah.
And it's all to do with qi, which is energy and your flow of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese believe that, or well, not even believe, but the Chinese say that you get an issue because there's a blockage in one of your energy lines.
Yeah.
So the acupuncture is what frees that energy line up and then heals you.
Mm-hmm. So now, again, you're more of an expert on this than I am. You've just now mentioned there's two types of acupuncture, the medical one and the non-medical one. I think we need to shut that door if possible. Sorry. Which one does the cupping? Cupping? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that both or just...
Cupping, I'm not the expert in cupping. I don't do it. I don't practice it. I've had it done a couple of times.
Does that come with the Chinese side of acupuncture or the medical side or both?
I think both. I think you can do and learn it along both methods, both lines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know 100%, but again, it's a natural way of healing. I personally don't love it. I find it very invasive, and it leaves you looking like you've been attacked by a giant octopus.
Okay.
So, because you end up with these massive circles.
So you don't even know what the effect of cupping is. You don't really see it personally.
I just don't think the outcome is as good as acupuncture.
Okay.
And that's because it's superficial to the body, so it's still external to the body.
Maybe I'm getting this wrong. Sorry for cutting you out, because
that's right.
I thought the first ever experience of acupuncture was years ago, over a decade ago or so, and athletes were on my left knee, and went to this Chinese lady's place, because actually it was advertised in that, so she had all the needles into my left knee. But then I had this cupping thing on the needle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's acupuncture, but she's used cupping as an additional tool to the acupuncture.
Oh, she's doing two for the price of one.
Yeah.
Bog on. Okay.
So cupping is usually...
That's different.
It's just, they just use these cups. They can be glass or plastic. Mm-hmm. But it's not usually done like that.
Yeah.
It's just pure cupping.
Yeah, okay.
So you just get loads of cups over if it's like your back, let's say. And the skin basically is like sucked into the cup.
Yeah, yeah, I had that on my knee.
It leaves you looking like you've been attacked by a giant octopus.
Ah, right, okay. And how long have you done that for, you reckon?
I don't do cupping.
No, I mean acupuncture.
So. Oh, acupuncture, sorry. So, since 2018.
Okay, lots of things happening in 2018, isn't it?
Yeah, but I qualified a massage in 2009, so I've done that. So I've done physical therapy a really long time.
Well, we're going to go next to that, isn't it? Ahead of time.
Ahead of
sports massage therapist. Okay. Why? And obviously you said 2009, you've already said that. Why that? What was that from a personal experience? And with you, did you have a sports injury?
Yeah, so I was in the fitness industry. Mm-hmm. I was actually studying my bachelor's in public relations.
Mm-hmm.
And alongside my degree, I was like, I need to make some money. What can I do that I enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to doing what you enjoy, you should try. I went into the fitness industry. So then I was teaching loads of classes everywhere, teaching Zumba and all of that. And I always injured loads. So I would see my own therapist. I would see other people getting injured. And then I thought, okay, my business brain, I was thinking, oh, brilliant. Well, I should do massage, you know, understand massage, then I'll understand more about the body and I'll be able to offer it as another service. So that's when I did that. So that was my sort of starting point to coming into all the physical therapy stuff. And I didn't really do it a lot then. But then as the years went on and I was sort of more in fitness, I then did it, and then I got into doing the acupuncture, and then I combined massage and acupuncture as one nice
thing. That's one thing, okay. Yeah. And you also are a sports massage therapist tutor.
Yeah.
So you teach other people to be a sports...
Exactly, yeah.
How do you get to be that?
So it was actually my friend who he used to train personal trainers and fitness instructors. So they would do, level two fitness, level three personal training. And I had done some tutoring before. So he just said, Tan, can you come and do that for my company?
Mm-hmm.
You do sports massage, can you tutor? Yeah, brilliant. So I did, and it was actually really, really fun. I made it a really fun way of learning. And it was good for me because I had to sort of brush up on all the muscle groups and everything. So I tutored for a little while, yeah.
And how did that go? Did you have loads of classes? Like, is there a certification that you... Can you award them once they...
Yeah, so it was... I taught it under a few different then sort of colleges or governing or bodies, I guess. It was an eight-week course once a week for 8 weeks. They would have a bunch of exams to do. But it was brilliant. It was adults of all ages, all different backgrounds, you know, looking for a new career path or to add on to if they were... A lot of them were in the fitness industry.
Yeah.
So then they would add it on to have their own qualification to be a massage therapist themselves. Yeah.
All right.
It was good. That's great. It was fun.
And so you're still doing that?
No, I don't do that anymore, but I did do that for a little while.
Okay. That's another feather to your cap. Fitness instructor.
Yes.
Okay.
That's where a lot of people still know me from. Oh my god, I used to come to your Zumba.
Yeah, I remember that. How did that start? How long have you been doing that for? Are you still doing that, or are you just concentrating being a doctor now?
So I don't think I'll ever just be one thing. I think I'm always going to be like bouncing around, teaching dance classes, doing acupuncture, helping people's minds. But I did my fitness alongside my undergraduate degree when I was just studying PR.
Yeah.
And that's when Zumba first came into the UK.
Yeah.
And I've always been a dancer. So I was like, oh my God, brilliant. Let me be the first Zumba instructor in the South. That would be cool.
I think you might have been, if memory serves me well. Don't think I remember a lot of Zumba classes going around when you first started.
That's because I was one of the first in the Bournemouth.
Yeah.
There was me and my friend. We did the first course in the UK. Mm-hmm. And then... Frankie's
Frank's chilling. There you go.
He's like, I want the mic.
Frank is now literally positioned himself on the table. And this is a man who's got four kids. Looks very satisfied with himself, innit?
Affiliates actually as well.
Sorry, go on. Yeah.
So then all of a sudden Zumba blew up.
Yeah.
As I'm sure all of you remember, and it was 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. Suddenly I got all these calls from literally every centre in Bournemouth and Poole.
Yeah.
And I was then teaching something like 28 Zumbas a week.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a brilliant stat. In like 18 months, I taught something like 890 Zumbas.
Bloody hell.
Yes, and no wonder I got lots of injuries.
exactly.
Clubbing. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Your body's screaming, it's too much.
Yeah, my body was screaming, it's too much. Like, lie down. Like, just lie down.
Yeah.
So that was cool, loved it. But my little entrepreneur brain was like, I want to create my own.
Yeah, there we go.
So I... did.
Oh, yeah. We know.
So...
What was it called?
So that was the inspo to create Jacajo Dance.
And what is Jacajo Dance about?
So...
It's obviously, you know, it's starting from Zumba, but obviously...
Yeah, so Zumba was the inspo.
Yeah.
But Jacajo is... It actually means let's dance in Yoruba, which is a Nigerian tribal tribal language. So it means let's dance.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's a mixture of dancehall, Afrobeat, soca, reggae. It's all the music that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
All the dancing I absolutely love. So Zumba for me was brilliant because my background's also like Latin dancing and that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't passionate enough about Zumba, and it was somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make a class that was better. So a real entrepreneur brain said.
Yeah, you gotta know some Zumba teachers right now. Just
I know.
That.
Sorry, guys. I used to teach.
To do with me.
I did love Zumba.
Zumba's good, people.
Check's better.
Stay out of that. I'm staying out of that argument.
So yes,
growing from Zumba.
Exactly.
Yeah. Zumba was the source.
Zumba was the source.
You can give you credit. Yeah. Okay, so Zumba instructors, don't start sending hate mail and stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Not at all.
Zumba's still cool.
Zumba is cool.
Yeah.
And it was the inspo for Jack. So Jack, we nicknamed it because Jacajo was really long and people got long winded. In true British fashion, like reading a word, like how do I say that? Like,
yeah, it's spelled, by the way, for people, it's spelled J-E-K-A-J-O. Sorry, I just gotta put that out there, just in case I want to do a Google search. Yeah, go on.
So yeah, check, and that's the inspo. So it's a harder workout, and it's slightly different music. So I created Jek in 2012, but I got it recognised and certified by the fitness industry here in the UK.
Yeah, they recognise people. Quick applause, yeah. So yeah, so Jek is certified, people. It's not some backyard thingy. Go on, sorry.
Yes. So I got it recognised in the fitness industry in 2016, and I started building up to get instructors teaching it, and we did all of that as well. So it was all sort of like a franchise, very similar structure to most fitness companies.
Yeah.
So people were teaching it. I had a couple of instructors internationally as well, and I was pushing that. And yeah, it kind of, I had to stop during COVID.
Yeah.
COVID
hit. Boo. I haven't got a boo thing in my thing.
Oh, I should boo
COVID
yeah,
right now.
Boo.
I'll use a scary one. Yeah, that worked.
It was a bit like that. It's just not weird.
What is it?
What is
going on here?
So I had to stop teaching, and then I was focusing on my master's. So Jet kind of went on a back burner. And now I did a class last week and we're bringing it back.
Yo, Jack is coming back. Hey, Jack. Oh, that's great. That's great. This is it's been a great podcast today. As Jack got his own handle, because all about social media these days.
Instagram is Jacadro Dance.
Okay, do you want to spell that out, please?
Oh, sorry. J-E-K-A-J-O. Dance. D-A-N-C-E.
All one word. Jacadro Dance. Is there a link from thebrightcenter.com to go to Jack?
No, there isn't. That's a good idea.
I'll send you my invoice. That's cool. That's my inspo. All right. So Dr. Tanya Bright of The Bright Center. Thanks for coming to talk about, obviously, mental health.
Thank
life coaching, and again, I'm not trying to knock all life coaches. I just think some are just full of themselves. Derek Jackson. I said what I said, bro.
I missed it.
Oh, should
I
give,
should say it
I'm saying it. I don't care. Sue me. It's fact. So, by the way, Kelly, Derek Jackson was a so-called life coach.
Okay.
Do you want to expand on that? Do I expand on that?
You can expand.
Okay, he's an American dude, and he wrote loads of books about mostly relationships. And was it Derek or Darren or whatever? He's got a funny name. Derek, it was Derek Jackson, wasn't it? Yeah. And loads of books about, and it always knocked men. I'm not saying men are saints. It's always felt like, oh, men, you should do this. Like, he had this thing on his Instagram. Every morning he'd be in his car. This man has gone to the gym. He's built like a unit, tight top, and just chat stuff. And ladies really took it on. And I think the pecs helped as well. I remember when I came across one of his social media posts a few years ago, I looked at him, I thought, you're just chatting bullshit, bro. You're trying to con people. I can see some things that he was saying, but it's just, he never looked genuine to me. And I think it was a year and a half ago, he got exposed.
Oh, wow.
Big time. So he's telling people, what he was trying to put out there was he was this perfect man and everything. And I could kind of see why people just go to that, especially people who maybe have got difficulties in their relationship and stuff and seen this guy say, oh, I wish I had a guy like him kind of thing. I see it. For me, the reason I thought he was just bullshitting, I just thought he's just taking advantage of vulnerable people. And that was the persona he was bringing out, which was, I'm this great guy. I think guys should do this more, blah, blah, blah. Basically, be like me. I don't know how many books he wrote, probably 10 books. Made a killing. And then he got exposed that he wasn't what he thought he was telling people that he was. And basically a narcissist.
Oh, no.
He
was telling someone that he's a fake?
Oh,
someone filmed him?
No, because he was telling people, his thing was he was a life coach and a relationship coach, so to speak, and telling people how to have the perfect relationship and how men should do this, do that, and yada, yada, yada. See, he was trying to portray himself as the perfect man.
Okay.
And he wrote books based on relationship and telling how people should have the relationship, have the so-called perfect relationship. And he got exposed to not even being any of that. He was having affairs. He was flying his girlfriends over. Okay. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah,
so
he wasn't living his truth.
truth. He wasn't living his truth. That wasn't his why. And
his why was just money.
His why was money and how to basically get money of vulnerable people, telling them what they want to hear. And that's the thing as well. It's like I don't knock life coaches or anything, but it's like it's hopefully trying to people to identify the rules from the fake, because there are people out there who just want to take advantage of people and make money of it.
And look for who you like, because not, you know, you have to know as well as a coach that you aren't for everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm highly aware that some people might not like that I'm quite smiley mm-hmm. and, you know, bright. Let's mm-hmm. go with it. Mm-hmm. sorry. Cheesy. You know, but some people might not like that. And mm-hmm. that's 100% fine. Mm-hmm.
The world would be very good place if we were all the same.
It was.
If everyone liked me, that's just not real life.
It was nuts. It was like I said, he wrote loads of books, which sold well,
yeah.
bestseller list and everything. And when he got found out that he was actually living what he was preaching to everyone, the whole world, the narcissist in him, I think he was thought, you know what, I've been caught here. He literally, the video, his poor suffering wife had in the same video as well. And they sat there. I don't want to go to it. Like, the video's still out. It's still, you can type it, Derry Jackson. It's all and literally, you could see her being, she had this sad clothing on and just like that, and he was there. He was trying to basically repair what I thought was irreparable. You've been caught out, and he was trying to salvage something out of it. And then people put leaving comments saying, more specifically to her, saying, "You know what? If you've been coerced to do this or do this video, just give us a sign." Blah blah blah. Yeah. And then she was pushing back. She then having going on Instagram profile and cursing people out, quoting Bible. It was deep. And they got on. He was trying to repair the reputation. He's already damaged himself. I think it was a few months ago, probably towards the end of last year, that they now finally officially split. But it was the narcissist, and he basically made this lady look like, oh, he disgraced her worldwide.
Yeah, so
and he put her here into the same video to try and repair something that he was just effed
using
up
her,
and using her. Yeah, it was crazy. So I am pro life coaches. I just think it just gave the genuine ones a bad rep, because you can like, if somebody will sit down and say, "No, I told you these guys were all fakes." It's what I'm saying. So
I also just say one way to pick out the better ones. Mm-hmm. Avoid going to somebody who says, "I'm going to give you the perfect anything."
Yeah.
Because actually perfection doesn't exist, because it can't be measured, because it's totally subjective. So any promises a genuine coach, life coach, mm-hmm. mental health person is not going to promise you anything.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to highlight the effort you've gone through with the qualifications. And that's one of the things, I think, because people have seen, there's loads, and I'm not saying people, you have to have a qualification and be recognized from an academic viewpoint to be a life coach. You can use your own life experience and be that,
100%.
But it's like it can help you filter out the fakes from the real by seeing what the effort they've put in to be what they are.
Also, just before I forget to say, I was going to say as well, you know, you wouldn't go to an astronaut to fix your tap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why would you go to someone unqualified mm-hmm. to fix your mental health?
Exactly. Especially mental health being a big thing. Relationship coaches, life coaching as well. It's look at, check their background.
Qualified for that
job. Yeah, check their background. Exactly. See what they've put in. I mean, he was doing this for God knows how long, nearly a decade.
Yeah, it's amazing he lasted that long.
Yeah, but the thing is, he knew what he was doing. Like I said, the whole pecs, the tight top in the car.
And that's word vulnerable. Like
yeah, very vulnerable.
So many people are so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And really will believe so much on social media.
Exactly.
You know, and all that.
So they are good quality life coaches in there. Just do your little research on them before you fall for what he or she has to say. Dr. Tanya Bright. She's a real one. TheBrightCenter.com on social media, The Bright Center. And thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Thanks, Ms. Frankie. Doing his stuff. Thank you, Hannah. Fest Eye Production. Pew, 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 pew. And we see you on the next episode.